and welcome to episode 200 of the Awesome Comics Podcast. Yes, we are the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise, and we're not alone today. But yes, we're in a room full of people staring at us, and we're feeling quite uncomfortable. Yes,
and we're dressed for each other.
Yeah. And we're all in the same room, but more on that in a bit. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me is the writer and artist and creator of the amazing webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Give them what they want.
And the writer of Making Comics with Springworth and Le Grand Fromage of comics.
You've said that one before.
No, I haven't. I've never called you a big cheese. It's Tony Esmond.
All right. I'm glad to see that we're here, part of the racist organisation that we are, with no diversity. It's good. Yeah.
Sorry, apart from you, Grania, sorry.
Sorry, Tolkien for
that. Didn't someone say Farage drinks in here?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's on the Wikipedia page. Yeah, that's why I chose it.
Already, right, this has gone off the rails. I never thought that name would come up within the first 5 minutes of one of our shows.
Does he do comics? No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Clearly, who does do comics?
Who's that then, Tony? Oh.
Comic House.
Yes, Comic House are our sponsor and the place you want to go if you make, sell or read indie comics. For creators, it's easy to create a profile and start selling. And for all comic fans, I tell you what, I don't need them. I don't need my co-host put me off because I have a room full of people judging me right now. Yes, for all comic fans, it's an amazing place for discovering new books, especially with the Netflix for Comics. Tony, don't put your arms around me. It's very uncomfortable.
It's one of the perks.
Hey?
It's one of the perks of the life.
Oh, God. Yes, anyway, yeah, it's the Netflix for Comics, which is the Comic House app. And, yeah, there's loads of stuff on there. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Gallant and Amos Collected Adventures 1, Legendary Tailspinners 2, Purgatory 4, Destiny Aura 1 and 2, The Enlightened Gun Volume 3, and To Kill Volume 1.
Very good.
I mean, that was hundreds more indie comics now.
That is off the top of your head.
That's
amazing.
Good.
How did you do that? you just ruined the
Usually
magic every time.
Week they say to me, "Have you got the Comic House listings?" He goes, "Yeah, of course I have." And it's straight onto the phone.
But he didn't email us this week because he's on holiday.
Yes,
same as last week.
But thank you to Pete from Comic House for supporting the show and allowing us to do things like this and mention his name. So, yeah, but Comic House is great, as most of the people in this room are probably on it or read it. Tony has a boner, as he says on this. And that's because Comic House is so goddamn great.
Very good.
And if you want a 14-day free trial and find out more, then go to comichouse.com.
For free.
Yes, yes. I've never done one of those sponsorship ads in the company of real life people before. I'm just talking to Tony and Dan every week. And I can't see their faces. We never have video on. You can all see why.
Dan's put it on twice.
Yeah.
Hey?
You put it on twice when you didn't have your shirt on there.
I did the Little Heroes podcast with the camera in the wrong angle. You could see my Transformers pajama bottoms.
There was an uncomfortable pause before Transformers pajamas that I wasn't comfortable with.
My wife got me them in my defence, but
you're good on
she
that,
didn't though. Like me with them off, so she gave me those.
Just gets you a onesie from now on. Keep it zipped up.
Zip at the back.
Yeah. But yes, as you can tell, this show is a little bit different. Hopefully it's recording and come out right. We've got so many recording devices around us right now. It's insane. But this is actually episode 200 and it is the live show. And we are here in the Two Chairmen pub. Stop staring at... are you just trying to look at my notes, Tony?
Yeah, he hasn't told us the questions all week. He refuses to tell us the questions.
Well, I thought this would be spontaneous. I didn't think...
Okay, go on.
Unbelievable. Yeah. People have got to listen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you to... Yeah, they are. They will after this. Bloody hell. Yes, we decided to do something different this week and actually meet up face to face. What started as, let's just do a live show, you know, meet up in a coffee shop or something, just record where we're all in the same place. And we're now like the deer in headlights, aren't we?
Yeah.
Dan's terrified.
Yeah.
Look on his face.
It's like when I was getting married all over again. I'm all right, my wife doesn't listen to the podcast. Dunking her as much as I want.
There's more sex involved in this one.
Yeah. I might actually send her the link for this show.
Yeah, go for it. It might be the end of me on the podcast, but it's fine.
Oh, no, I won't do that because everyone loves you, Dan. And people are finally seeing you for the first time.
Yeah, where's Dan?
I do appear at some cons.
I wasn't accusing you of anything. I was just saying when we're at a convention and we have the awesome comics table, people always say, "Where's Dan?" Because they like you so much, Dan. Don't you?
Yeah. I felt like there was pity involved in that.
Move on.
Yeah. We make comics. Pity. We'll take pity. Yeah. Yes.
Exchange.
This is going to be an unconventional show, this one. And don't be surprised, people, if I don't look you in the eye when I look. This is so weird for me. But we've got some talking points. We've had some brilliant listener questions. And I think to kick us off, we're not going to do like recommendations. This isn't going to work like a normal show. Clearly, because I just had a burger 5 minutes before recording, which I don't normally do. Although Tony Esmond will probably try to tell you otherwise. But yeah, so we're just going to have some talking points and see what it's like. And the first one, I think... He's going to
Don't fucking stare at me like something's happening.
Something is happening. And something has been happening for quite some time, Tony.
Okay.
Now, this is on Never Iron Anything. You've chosen to go all guns blazing in May, haven't you?
Yeah.
And do something a bit different.
I blame him, actually, Gary there. So Gary and I had a conversation about doing a review a day. When was that? Edinburgh, Gaz? Yeah.
And this is from Comics Anonymous.
Yeah, Gary.
A website you
Comics
need to check out.
Very important. Yeah. And we decided we'd challenge each other and do a review a day. It's not difficult, is it? It's not like we're running a marathon, is it, to be fair? But and then after a conversation I had with Tom. Tom, over there. After a conversation I may or may not have had with Tom. there's two Toms next to each other. We had a conversation where we were sort of discussing how there wasn't enough critical analysis of comics, I think.
So when you say critical, just sort of develop that, because we live in a day and age where everyone's a critic. I mean, certainly, anyone who's been in the cinema recently probably has a lot to say.
What kind of softball reviews?
Everyone's brilliant in a review. Yeah. There was an article on that name site that shall not be named. By someone who was satirically quite an interesting article that said that comics is the best it's ever been now. And, well, it's clearly not. It's clearly not the best it's ever been. Mm. There's some great stuff out there, but to be honest with you, there's some toot out there. And and I think there's some people who are creating rubbish who are told they're brilliant and have decided that they're brilliant. And it's a sort of snowballing effect where
if you want any of our comics, you can get them from
us. It's a snowball effect where people get told they're brilliant, they think they're brilliant. And it gets worse and worse until big companies start believing that these people are brilliant as well. And I think it's bringing down the quality of a lot of mainstream comics as well at the moment. Mm. And I got to the point where it got repeated quite a lot on a 2000 AD page recently. You know what 2000 AD fans are like. I think comics is going to start eating itself. Where we're going to start believing the hype.
You've been saying that for probably a good year now.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not trashing people. I'm not trashing people's comics. And I've done, I think, 6 reviews now. Two of them have been sort of fairly highly critical, and the two people who I've been fairly highly critical of have both emailed me back and said thanks a lot. So
when you do these sort of more critical reviews, you're sort of actively pursuing communication as well. It's not like thanks for the comic, here's this review, and then you want to talk to the people afterwards.
A little bit, yeah. If they want to get to me. You know, I don't like talking to people the best of times. So if they want to have like a long argument with me, they can fuck off, to be fair, and I'll block them. But if they want to talk to me about what I'm talking about, then that's fine. I'm fine with that. But they're the ones who are putting their head in the lion's mouth, essentially.
Mm, yeah.
So it's down to them. They know what they're doing. And I explain to them what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they've done it. And it seems to be very adult at the moment. I'm sure it'll get to a point... where it's not going to be very adult. I think anyone who reviews comics over any period of time has had maybe a discourse on it on an odd occasion, Gaz, and a lot of people in this room have written to me. I had a great conversation with John about it the other day. We talked about the sort of sensible nature of criticising things constructively. John Tucker, everyone.
Would you be more likely to get grief from someone doing an unsolicited review of their work? Like if someone offers up a book and says, can you review this, and you give them feedback which they don't like, they've asked for that. But if you give... feedback which they perhaps didn't ask for, do you think there's a way for them to take umbrage with that?
I don't know, actually. It's an interesting point. You're putting it out there, it's going to get reviewed, I suppose.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah,
I think no matter what anyone says, and I know, for instance, Tony, you say like, oh, I'm making comics for myself, and you know that's obviously we kind of want to, don't we? We want to make the product for ourselves.
Yeah.
But if you're choosing to then offer it up, you know, for purchase or to put it out in the big wild world, you have to accept criticism and reviews and stuff.
I mean, that's the big stress of putting stuff out. You're putting your head up there and you're asking for someone to shoot at it, essentially, aren't you, really? It's like when, I think, did we talk to you about it, Gatherine? Being at a convention and putting a comic on a table in front of someone, and yours is a reasonably, if I'm saying, a reasonably sort of personal thing. You're putting yourself
Gareth
out
Hopkins.
There. Gareth Hopkins, everyone.
But
you're putting yourself out there a little bit, aren't you, really?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it, you know. And you've got to be prepared to do that, otherwise
you're going to learn a lot more than in an honest critique your work than someone just slapping you on the back saying you're doing fine.
Yeah.
Because if there's areas where you, in your work which you need work on, you're only going to learn that through an honest critique.
Yeah. Mm. And it came to a head to sort of chronologically a bit of you asked me about this, that I went to a couple of conventions recently, and so there was some awards given out at one of them, and I was sat like three grumpy old blokes at the back of it with James McCulloch and Alan Henderson, and we both sat there shook our heads. I thought, how on earth is that winning an award? You know, I think it's such.
But is that down to, is that subjective though? Down to taste? Is it just something that isn't for you? That's for a lot more people.
I think there is that. There is a big part of that, but there's also anyone in their right mind will go, there's better comics than that. Hmm. I think that's fair to say.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think? This has gotten grown up really quick, hasn't it?
Yeah, everyone's thinking, does he mean me?
we start off with a UKIP joke, and then all of a sudden it gets really...
rape culture.
Right, what? Oh, my God. Anyway, it's the Netflix for comics. No. But do you think there's a lot of people who are starting out and making comics now who are expecting... I don't want to. I'm not stereotyping anyone, but expecting just nothing but positivity.
Yeah.
Because I know when we've. I don't consider myself, even though we call it a recommendation section, some people call it reviews. I know you say we're essentially reviewing things. I still don't consider myself to be like that.
You don't consider yourself a reviewer as a badge, do you, I suppose?
It's more, I like this, you should read this. Yeah. That's the whole point of our recommendation section. But it is quite nice. I don't like being critical of things. I just don't. I don't like doing stuff like that. But when I have sort of talked about a book and I've mentioned the lettering, you know, the speech bubbles could be better.
Two ladies came in to use the loo, then they were left again.
I mean, how uncomfortable is that to be greeted with this when you walk in the door? No, but like when I've talked about the lettering and then some people have come up to me at a show and said thanks for the review, it was brilliant, thank you for all the kind words, we're working on the lettering now. They're actually I'm surprised at the positive response, because when I choose to be a little critical with something, I feel bad doing it, don't you?
Kind of couch it in kind of you're talking praises about a book and then say if you tweaked this and made it a little better,
that's how fair. I always want to try and do it and just sort of say, you know, if you could do this, then I think it would be better for everyone. But whereas you've just decided, I'm going to cut everyone to shreds.
Well, I got to the point as well where I've given everyone a good review. So when they come back to me and say, well, that you don't know what you're talking about, that's a bad review, I'm going to say, well, apparently I believed it when I wrote a good review for you.
Yeah.
So I've got that little shield in front of me now.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you've had someone you gave a review to not too long ago who took it very badly and was just kind of... It was like fingers in ears. I don't want to hear this.
Which is
not the right way to take it.
You're
over it now, though, aren't you?
You say that.
I'm in the middle.
So anyway, we're at was it day four of a month of it? So we'll see how we get on.
Yeah,
maybe we'll report back at the end of the month and see if I'm.
No,
still
no, alive. I think it's great though, because I mean, you say online, oh right, you know, this could be interesting, and you give it all this, like, oh, I'm gonna be more critical, but the reviews are always well written and they're constructive.
Well,
and then when you said, "Oh, is this all right?" I read it and then think, "Yeah, that's all right."
That's fine.
I did run the first one past you guys, didn't I? Yeah. To be fair, to make it didn't sound like I was just being sarcastic. I did compare someone's comic once to my garden shed for a whole review.
What's your garden shed like?
Pretty sexy, actually. A lot has happened in my garden shed. You know that for a fact.
I've never been in there. Oh my god.
Yeah, so we'll see how we get on. It'll be interesting. It's an interesting thing to do. Yeah. I will continue post that, to be more honest about stuff. But like, we kind of avoid people in the audience thinking, oh, well, why aren't you critical from the beginning? I've been guilty of not being critical enough sometimes. And I've also been guilty of not reviewing stuff that I thought was terrible.
And I think every single person, and I mean that, every single person in this room has picked up a comic or read a book and they like the person and they don't want to say that they immediately don't like it. And that's not to say that the person isn't doing a comic that's, you know, they're putting out their best work and stuff, and sometimes it's just not for you. But I think everyone's had that experience where you think, oh, I'm not such a fan of this.
Yeah, that's fair. It's better to keep it buttoned, I'd say, than kind of
So you pick up a comic, put it down, nod at them, and then walk off.
Yeah.
Well, we've all done that.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah. Or do the classic. Yeah. Or yeah, I'm doing the rounds, and then I'll come back to your table.
My other classic is, was it the 30 Rock joke where she goes to see her friend's play and she goes, "Oh, the lighting was good." Oh, great paper stock.
Yeah. Who's the printing on this one?
Yeah. Well, that's terrible because I always mention the paper stock, but that's because I'm a bit of a print nerd.
Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, from critical reviews to free comic book day, because this is as we speak, May the 4th is free comic book day. Something I've never really experienced.
Have you really?
Not?
No, not really. I think I've dropped in one or two shops, but never really got caught up in the whole revelry. Yeah.
Okay.
It feels like, I could be wrong, obviously there's queues outside shops and people are always picking up loads of freebies. Not so much is said about it over the past 3 years as I feel like more people were talking about it probably about 5 years ago. It was a bigger thing.
Isn't it like they give a certain amount of free copies away in a shop, but they're paid for by the shop?
The shop pays a minimum amount for them. So they still do pay for them.
Okay.
Some shops, historically, without naming them, over the last few years have charged for them.
Okay.
Because they've had to get the money back because they won't survive otherwise. Mm. But you do get a queue of people. You get a queue of people who will do all the shops in London and not buy anything.
That boggles my mind.
I know. Yeah. We always say buy something as well.
Yeah.
But there's a few people who went to Orbital earlier. Yeah. So we had a few in the crowd went to Orbital. I was in the queue in Orbital. I wish Adam Sharif, who's a pal of mine who works in there, could have told me that he could have given me them yesterday. But he didn't, so I stood in the queue for 3/4 of an hour.
With the scum of the earth, the dregs of humanity.
There was fucking cosplayers there. You know I hate cosplayers. The line went past the counter. Nobody stopped at the counter and bought anything while I was in there. What about you?
I did.
You bought something, didn't you? Right. You did, yeah.
That's Aaron from Little Heroes.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that all show, aren't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen people certainly posting on social media today sort of saying, enjoy your free comic book day, but if you're there, make sure you buy something. Even if it's just one comic, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't see that whole going around and doing all the different shops. Isn't it the same lineup for every shop?
It depends. So, for example, Orbital, you get five. You choose five from a list. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
With Forbidden Planet, you get a give and a. Anyone do Forbidden Planet today? Yeah. Was it like a grab bag?
You've got a choice between like the adult bag and the child's bag.
All right, okay. Sounds a bit strange.
Yeah.
And I don't know what. I think Gosh did. Anyone do Gosh today? What did they do, Gareth?
I'm not sure what was in the bag because we had the option to either be in the queue and queue for free comics or just go in and look around. So we went in and bought comics rather than
wait
for free comics.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I think they might have a similar deal to Orbital where you choose depending on what they've got left. Mm. I did notice there's a lot more reprints in the what's in the actual comics this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so previously it was used as a jumping on point for Marvel and DC. They'd start an event.
Some of the smaller places like IDW and stuff will put out a new, like a first issue of something.
Sometimes.
Or a special free comic book day version of Mouse Guard or something like that.
Yeah, Mouse Guard was the big one. They used to do a hardback. Mm. Nobrow did one 2 years ago, which was the start of the next Hilda book, for example. Marvel often start their events in the free comic book day. But more and more, I think like Drawn and Quarterly and all these sort of guys are doing reprints.
Do you say they start an event with free comic book day?
Yeah, sometimes.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's quite common.
A lot of small press creators are kind of getting in on the free comic book day.
Yeah.
Has anyone else kind of put their comic up on Twitter or social media is giving it away for free? I mean, I've seen quite a number already. Mm. It's good to kind of tag on the back of it.
Yeah, on the Facebook page there's a few, I think. A few people in the room who've put their books up on there.
What does free comic book day sort of really do for indie comics, do you think? In terms of like the mass consumer... You say, I mean, we don't want to say it, but are we going to say for the mass consumer it doesn't really do anything?
No, yeah.
That's quite sad. We don't want to say it.
No. I mean, you see families going in and, you know, the kids picking them up occasionally. You see that quite a lot, but does that amount, in my amount, I mean, with stuff like Hilda and the little kids stuff, I'm more prone to think that's the better idea, you know?
Yeah.
I think, do we really need an Avatar-free comic book day, you know, crossed event? We don't really, do we? Do you know what I mean? I don't see one beaten to death with a horse cock on free comic book day. You know
what
I mean?
A bunch of cosplayers that would be.
Yeah, that's cosplayers I'd like.
Yeah, well, you dressed as one today.
Thank you.
Well, I do web comics. So that's every day's free comic book day.
Yeah,
it's just so smooth, so smooth.
Not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, like the great thing with web comics is kind of you can get them out to the masses relatively quickly.
Yeah,
and just slap it online and away you go. But there's so many web comics out there that you're kind of competing against the entire world.
Yeah, web comics don't. I guess, like you say, web comics are always free, so they there's no way they could take advantage of like something like free comic book day.
Well, I've been in a couple of groups where they put out like a collection.
That's happened a few times, hasn't it? This year, was it Collection of Heroes? Or was it
Collective of Heroes? Yeah, we usually do it, but to be fair, like it doesn't really affect readership at all. We can put together like 5 or 10 pages, put it all together, like for every creator has 5 or 10 pages. Put a PDF out into the wild, hoping that they'd come to the various sites, but it doesn't really translate.
So okay.
We haven't really done it this year. Yeah.
More's a pity. Mind you, you've got enough doing Vanguard anyway.
But don't you think that's because the indie comic? I mean, we're shit at organising anything, to be fair. And on the bus on the way on the bus on the way here, I was thinking, we should have put issue 1 out as a free comic. And we never did we? Do you know what I mean?
I need to talk to you off air about that.
Okay, right, fine. Yeah.
Issue 1 is free. The digital version of issue 1 is free.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ages ago, I put a Google link up, which is lost enough. Enough. Yeah.
He looks after the money. We don't see it. Yeah. Never see it.
What money? Yes. So you can get, if you want awesome comics, issue 1. There is a Google link, which I probably need to pin to our homepage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Somewhere.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Do you know what that flashing red light is? No, well, actually, flashing red light probably means something completely different. Anyway, we had, as I said, we had a few questions this week, which Tony's trying to look at.
I keep getting my eye drawn to the questions. So I'm gonna
questions. The book's in my lap. Don't lie.
You put it there.
That's not the answer you should give, Dad.
Go on in.
Anyway, right, so we had a couple from our lovely listeners, and to start us all off, and there's some really good questions here, actually. Most people, I think, expected silly questions.
Yeah, we've got sensible questions.
We've got some sensible questions. Okay. This is actually turning out to be a legit show. Who the hell would have thought that? Nice. Thank you, Sam. No. Now, first up is from Matt Strott.
Oh, yeah.
Long-time listener. Now, one of our friends, isn't he?
Yeah, he's great,
from the States, yeah. He said, comics will never die, which is always good to start
it's
off.
No, yeah, it's
but it's clear we live in a time of turmoil and transition. Business models change, media changes. Where do you think the future lies for comics in general and independent comics specifically?
Christ.
Fucking hell. Why do you tell us these beforehand? I could have thought of an answer.
Well, the
it was
thing
such
is,
a long one. I
honestly thought these were going to be silly. So, okay. And the silly ones, I thought I'll just drop on them. And then we got loads of serious ones. And I didn't think you'd have to think about
it. Run it by
them.
Me again. I'm not actually sure what I think about that.
Where do you think the future is for comics in general and independent comics specifically?
I think series will die. I genuinely think. I think comic series will die. I think
just
we'll
one-offs.
What, single issues?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe stay digital, maybe.
In the big two, they stop start all the time anyway, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick my neck out and sort of say, for independent comics, the individual issue, especially with the crowdfunding, I don't know, I just feel like it's going to get more difficult for people.
Why is more people come to it?
Like, there's a lot. Just say I've got a 4-issue limited series. I kickstart the first issue, goes gangbusters. If the second one doesn't do so well,
and then
the third one doesn't make it.
The problem you've got is if the first issue, you kickstart the first issue just makes it. the second issue ain't going to make it. The drop off between issue one and issue two is what, 50% in mainstream comics. They ain't going to make it.
Do you think that works for Kickstarters as well?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, when we had Ryan K. Lindsay on, he was saying about the fact of the issue two's always coming in lower. The further you get into a series, the lower and lower the returns, because people don't want an issue four, they've not got issue one,
especially if it's a continuation of a series, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? I think you're safer if you're, you know, there may be several issues but they're one and done stories, because people know they can pledge getting the beginning, middle and end. But I think like for a series like The Red Mass from Mars, if I put all my eggs in that basket of Kickstarter, you loved that metaphor, didn't you? Then I think probably by five in 2025, whenever I make that.
You've started it, you've told me.
But if you did it with a subhead in like The Red Mass from Mars versus The Gremlins.
Yeah, but that would be a one and done, wouldn't it? So immediately you're selling to that audience. But if I was trying to sell issue four now, I'm not going to kickstart any of the issues of Red Mass from Mars. I've psychologically just thought, this is the way I'm going to do it. I'm going to fund it myself and I'm not going to change it. I will probably kickstart the trade, but I don't think to come in to do later issues.
It's interesting though, because Kickstarter was 10 years old a couple of days ago, wasn't it?
Okay,
it's hit 10 years now, isn't it? So it's become an established thing, isn't it?
It's now just a way of
not just funding but also promoting thing, you know.
Yeah,
it is interesting.
Do a quick poll, who's run a Kickstarter?
Probably putting their hands up isn't going to be good.
No,
for
we'll
an audio
tell the audience.
Format.
it's about 6 or 7 people. Yeah. Everyone's pledged on the Kickstarter.
So that's 6 or 7 people out of what, about 300?
Yeah. I didn't think the OT was going to be this. it's interesting. I mean, I always want to curb my Kickstarter pledging as well.
Yeah, we keep saying it every week, and then it keeps going up.
And then something happens.
I get guilted into pledging for some people.
Yeah.
I do. Genuinely, some people I feel bad if I haven't done it. You know? And then I see them and I make eye contact with them and it gets worse.
It just feels like you're like Michael Douglas in Falling Down, aren't you? I think one day you're just going to get caught in a traffic jam and just leave your car and just start slagging off everything.
You should hear the outtakes.
But we know Tony's going to die is when all the comics crash on him in his loft.
Yeah.
And he's kind of
naked.
Okay, his naked body squashed under rum. Anyway.
Under Rom. For anyone in the audience who doesn't know Rom, he's a robot in a comic. He's not someone I know.
That was Rom, not Ron.
Ron lives next door. Pops in.
Yeah, I do call him Space Knight. Right, so next, we've got a couple from Philip McFarlane.
Hey.
Here's a quick one.
He's there.
Hey! Well, I've got all your questions here. What makes Alien comics work better than Predator comics? I'm looking at Dan, but I think he's absolutely right. I prefer Predator as a franchise. It's my favourite monster of all time. But comic-wise, Alien comics are usually better.
What's a difficult one? The Predator one is kind of like, it's got one story. There's a Predator hunting someone, whereas the Aliens, you can kind of, there's a bit more play, I would say, with it.
You can have different colonies, you can do. As long as you don't have it present day. I cannot stand alien stories that are set now.
But we've got two great alien films, 1 and 2.
Look.
But
Alien 3. What's that really good recent one?
Alien 3 is really good.
It's Jason. What's that really good recent one that you like?
Oh, God, don't get me started on Covenants and Prometheus.
Thanks for bringing the mood down.
There's only been one decent Predator in my mind. 2's all right, but I don't know. I just feel like there's more you can do with the Aliens universe than the Predator one. Mm. I'd rather just have the one and done with the Predator.
Yeah, Predator's really... I don't know, because I haven't seen the recent shite, but Predator's sort of that design's only, isn't it? But Aliens kind of... It's been mucked about with quite a lot, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think because of the Predator, there kind of is more that you can embellish and you can find out more about, for instance, where they came from, etc., blah, 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 blah. But for me, that's never that satisfactory. I think aliens are, if you just boil it down to the black and white essence, they're a threat. That's all they are. They're the killing machine. I don't, certainly with the new films, we don't care about where they come from. They are just the threat.
I think they lend themselves to a sort of sci-fi gothic sensibility that is popular at the moment and is more and is attractive
always
to
has
bear
been,
creators, maybe. I don't know.
Always has been. And I think I mean, Dark Horse has done great. I think it's done better work with Aliens than it has with
Predator. Yeah, undoubtedly. The James Stokoe stuff recently. Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
I feel they make a mistake of trying to reveal too much about the monster.
Yeah.
It's like the more we find out about origins and where they come from, the less interesting they are.
Yeah. I mean, you know what the setup
the
is. Yeah.
And all that is just totally uninteresting. It's, we don't want to know it.
Yeah. Whereas recently you actually talked about Alien comics on the show, didn't you?
Yeah, that's great. Those the hand painted ones, the artist and writer completely go in my head now.
But the thing about Aliens comics, I think because they are sets like in the future, so far in the future, they're fairly timeless. That sounds weird, but you know, because it's a science fiction sort of aesthetic. Whereas Predator is always normally, I mean, most of the time, I don't read many of the comics, but it's present day, isn't it? So it's dated.
Do you think it's to do with the Predator's face looks like a vagina?
Why is that your go-to, isn't it?
It does so, doesn't it?
So the second question. Right, so what have you learned that has made comic creating quicker or easier for you?
Oh, I can get you to put everything on a computer for me. That's what I've learned.
What, you get other people to do the work?
You feed it into the computer for me. I don't know how it works.
You feed it into the computer. Yeah, certainly. I think it's hard to
remember. When it's a workflow of trying to get everything kind of moving along at one point, rather than have one page that, right, I'm going to pencil this page, then I'm going to ink this page, and I'm going to scan this page, then I'm going to colour it and letter it, try and get a few going through. So if there's one point I can't get on a computer to colour it, but I can at least start drawing that one or inking that one, just try and do something with it, like slack off for 10 minutes of work and do some lettering when the boss is in a meeting or whatever.
Yeah.
No one in my world listened to this. So.
And then print it on the work computer. What?
Yeah. No, it's planning, though. I think planning's just gotten, because I think when you first start making comics, there's an enthusiasm that pushes you past the knowledge that you have. And then the knowledge catches up, like how to do it better. Yeah. Like when we were putting together Awesome Comics, I had had the learnings that I had of doing a few issues my own comic. And therefore, that made putting the issue together easier because I knew what was going where. And because of that, when we set up the first issue, 2, 3, and 4 were so much easier because the hard work was in issue 1, wasn't it? It was setting up the, you know, the letters pages, setting up what the inside cover looks like, the back cover. Once you've got that, it's just, let's just put the comic stories into it, wasn't it? That was all we had to worry about.
I think the main thing I've learned is to know the right people to rely upon. And I know a joke when I say I give it to you to put on a computer, but like knowing the right artists who I know will do it. Yeah. You know, the amount of people who are just flaky. You know, and you kind of get to know that, don't you? You know the little excuses they give, and finding the right people on the project I'm currently on was great because everyone came through straight away for me. You know,
I think it's interesting for you because like now, like me and Dan are seeing more input in terms of we've seen the journalistic stuff, but in terms of comic input over the past couple of years, you've done more.
It has upped. Yeah, in the early 2000s I did a lot, and then I sort of slacked off a bit of it, mostly because the bloke who used to slide it into the computer for me. Moved to America, so I couldn't do it, and then I went to do the sort of reviews and all that sort of blah, and now I'm back on it again because I know you guys.
But like, you want it to be fun. If you have to, is it becomes a chore and you got to chase people for stuff? You know, oh god, now I've got to email or text that person again to chase them for their stuff.
Yeah, and there's only so many times you can ask somebody for something. It becomes difficult. You know, that's the problem. Yeah, and the whole environment's changed. It used to be when you made a small press comic, you used to do it between mates, and no one ever got paid. And now I think everyone gets paid, don't they? You know, everyone. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Another
me, clearly.
Well, someone's got to pay.
Yeah. I feel really threatened right now. The second part of this question: what are you trying to do that still hasn't worked out? Are there things that you're trying to do with comics that just isn't working, especially with web comics, Dan? There must be. That's an ever-changing platform, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more the marketing side. It's just an unending battle, like trying to just get it in front of people. Mm. You can buy advertising space, you can tweet about it and put stuff on social media, but like, there's so much stuff out there. How do you get to the reader?
And it's like a match, isn't it? As soon as you advert, you lit it, and then it goes out.
Yeah,
and you have to do it.
One of the unfortunate things, as long as if you're not shouting about it, you're getting drowned out by someone else who is. It's frustrating. I mean, I can see why some people move their webcomics to the bigger platforms where they're doing all that shouting for you, and then they can put you on the homepage. All the readers know where to go. So I can understand why people do that. But as your own creator, if you're kind of releasing a book, you can put your shout out on social media. But it gets drowned out relatively quickly. So the kind of the marketing and trying to get people on side with that, especially nowadays when you get fucking everyone wants you to sign up to an email list and send you notifications when something's new. I always feel a bit kind of pushing on people if I try and do that with them. So
we all delete more emails than we read, don't we? Yeah. To be fair,
I find it harder to sell my comics now than I did when I started. I don't know.
What's that?
I don't know, because I think when I started the first show, the first convention table, you have that, and then you've got the excitement, and anyone that comes to your table, you got the patter, you're just excited about the book, and you want to talk to them about comics and stuff. And it just, I feel more self-conscious of every tweet. I mean, certainly, you know, if I was to ever do a Kickstarter, it would probably fail because I wouldn't want to post about the bloody campaign all the time.
Some people are just absolutely shameless. My God. It's just, I saw a tweet from someone, not naming her, but it was like something about a free comic book day in a library for kids, and someone had retweeted it with the comment, "Oh, that's a really good idea. I do a lot for kids in my comic." And then they mentioned their comic, and I'm like, "Jesus Christ!"
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know why. I've certainly it picked up in the last couple of shows, but there was a real lull at like my convention tech. I found it really hard to sell to the people.
I mean, the benefit is we rarely do it ourselves on our own now, do we?
Yeah.
We're always with each other. But you've got one. You're doing Lawless in a couple of weeks on your own, aren't you? Yeah.
But because of the nature of that convention, I think I'm going to be better there because I will know no one. Well, I'll know a few people, but and this is something that probably not enough people talk about. The more you know, the more people you know, which is fantastic. When we've got a room full of people here because of this. That's also more people who go talk to you at a convention, and you want to spend time with these people. But that time, I've had this before, and it's not with anyone in this room. I just want to say that now. But I've been talking to someone I know, and I see someone, a complete stranger, come to the table, look at the stuff, and then walk away just before I can get away from the conversation.
Yeah, but you're a nightmare for that, because when I'm with you, you will talk to someone for an hour and a half because you're too.
That happened once, and I couldn't get out of it.
And I'll just walk off.
I know. What? Instead of helping me?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
These people are so boring sometimes.
Was that at Bristol? You guys went at Bristol?
No, is it at Bath?
Bath. Yeah. Yeah, John Tucker says, because he watched it happen.
We were watching. Yeah. We were taking pictures of him.
Yeah. Good day, though.
Yeah. next one's in June, everyone.
Yeah. Okay, here's a little bit of a recommendation one, actually. Phil's thinking about getting goat herded from Avery Hill. What are some other mind-melting or otherworld one-of-a-kind stuff?
Anything by Avery Hill, really, to be fair, at the moment. They're doing some great stuff. The Spectator from No Brow by Victor Hugh Snow. Anything by Victor Hugh Snow. Amazing. Amazing stuff.
Away by John Late and Grant Richards. That's good.
Yeah, it's got a trippy element to it, isn't it? There's lots of...
Well, the thing is, I'm not such a reader of like the trippy comics. I think I'm slowly getting to grips with them.
If you genuinely want to read something that's out there and is created by people on a lot of LSD, then read
Awesome Comics issue one.
Yeah. Read Killraven from the 70s. Read Don McGregor's Killraven. It's amazing.
You'll just recommend that to anyone, though.
I will.
Do you think there should be more of those sort of comics with comics sort of storytelling ability? You know, the fact that if you think about it, comics is the movie with no budget limitations. You can do whatever you want.
There's only one cubicle, so I don't know where they're going.
You can't give a shout out every time someone has a toilet break. Dan didn't go. He's still here, by the way.
Yeah.
I got out of the way early.
But do you think, because you can do anything in comics, do you think there's enough people really pushing it, or do you think you will see an influx of that kind of stuff?
I think you see it in various sort of, I don't know, do you see it in the LCAF crowd? You kind of do a bit more, I think, don't you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, your stuff, do you know what I mean?
Gareth Hopkins.
Yeah, Gareth Hopkins, everyone. Yeah. Read Gareth Hopkins' stuff. There you go. That's the ultimate recommendation for that.
I've got some free copies of my comics which nobody buys. They're free, you can buy them. And I've got some free.
Shameless. He hasn't even sponsored us and he's getting an ad. But Dan, have you ever thought about, like, I think it would depends on the creator as well, isn't it? Because I haven't really had a, I've never had a concept that I thought, oh, that's a bit trippy and out there. That's a bit Lynchian. What about you, Dan? Have you ever thought of a story
idea? I don't really have the chops to tackle it, I don't think.
Really?
Kind of,
really?
Yeah.
I think you could.
Yeah, and you eat a lot of cheese before bedtime.
Yeah, true. But no, I don't know. I kind of really haven't tackled those kind of weird, out there stories. So I just, to be fair, I would draw one, but not sure about writing it, drawing it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm.
I can see you doing a psychosexual thing.
That's in my wheelhouse.
What, like a sort of Suspiria?
I'd love to see that from you.
Because the way you handle colours as well, I think you could do something.
Yeah, I'd give it a go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Then print it in
Bring
black and white.
Along.
Dave Kennedy.
Dave
Kennedy. He asked, have you ever seen that Wolf film where Jack Nicholson jumps up them stairs and gets off with Michelle Pfeiffer? I have. Have you seen it? I have. We've all seen it, haven't we?
Yeah, it's in the bank, don't worry.
Yeah. Right, we've got a couple of questions from Sam Webster.
He's gone for a wee.
Yeah.
He can listen back.
Yeah.
And he'll be really pleased that you called that out. Now he says, do you think the rise of digital, limited phone storage space, and subscription based apps like Comic House and Marvel Unlimited and Shonen Jump are making comics more disposable again? For instance, like you download it, you read it, you delete it, and on to the next. Because I know you've always said, like, comics used to be something that you read, you roll up, put in your back pocket.
Yeah.
Comics are now no longer disposable. But I think Sam brought up a really interesting thing that digital almost makes that disposable again, doesn't it? It's in a different format, because I know I download comics from Comixology, read them, and then delete them from the Kindle or whatever. I've still got
them. They're in the cloud somewhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
But then again, I always think, what if Comixology goes bust?
Yeah, no, you lost them all.
Yeah, I've lost all those comics. I worry about that, you know. Mm. Because I'm used to, like you say, having a paper copy.
Yeah.
I think it does. I think
they're owned
by
Amazon now, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but then...
But we've mentioned this before, maybe in the next couple of generations, they might go purely digital. I still want print copies of comics.
Yeah.
And, like... The idea of pure digital is just...
When that harks back to an earlier question where it'll be floppies as... The equivalent of floppies as monthlies will be digital only,
yeah.
And they'll collect them as trades, and it'll be something you can put on your coffee table. Mm. Everything seems to be made for a coffee table now, doesn't it? You know,
But it does make it a sort of a quicker sort of read, delete, next, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. Mm. Yeah. It really does. Yeah. I think it does make them more disposable. But from a point of view of, from a financial point of view, I paid $2.99 for a digital book yesterday.
Yeah.
It's 20 pages long.
I only do that with the indie sort of digital stuff normally.
Yeah. Well, we did it for the Liefeld book, right?
Yeah.
I didn't buy that.
I bought a Star Wars one, and then like it was $2.50, and I blasted through it in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, the thing is, as beautiful as the art is, because they normally are beautiful looking books, aren't they? But it's normally cinematic storytelling, which takes an issue to just tell one scene, doesn't it? And you breeze through it. You know, I just think they're charging too much, especially bigger companies, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. I'd be okay if the indie people are charging $2.50, £3, whatever for their. And normally when you see that, I $2.49 on Comixology, I look at the page count and it's 40, 50 pages.
Hmm.
Whereas you go to some of the bigger companies, same price, and you're talking 20 pages.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, and I know sometimes it's like, oh, wait a month and it drops down in price, but who wants to do that?
Sometimes it's not even that, sometimes it's a lot longer. Is it Major X? Is that the Liefeld book we're talking about today? That was $2.99. And that's 20 pages, and it's like three panels a page. Yeah, it took me like literally 2 minutes to read.
Is that a different artist on every issue?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is now. Yeah,
it's really upset you, hasn't it, Dan?
Yeah, I wanted to see Liefeld go the course and try and do 6 issues. I knew he wouldn't.
Yeah.
The Silvestri's done the recent one, isn't he?
Really?
Yeah, has he?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't believe we just got interested. We both got interested at the same time then. Because Mark Silvestri's a great artist. Anyway, how has digital impacted the collector's market? Now you can pay sort of hundreds for a physical first appearance of your favourite character, or 99p for the digital version. How do you think? I mean,
back issues are less sought after now, aren't they?
Yeah.
You used to have to fight to get to the back issue bins at conventions and marts and stuff, and you don't now. And nobody describes, or rarely do people describe themselves as comic collectors anymore.
Yeah.
That was always our hobby. We were comic collectors, weren't we?
Yeah.
Now we're not. Yeah. And to, you know, you really used to have to fight to get. a copy of a run of, I don't know, you're into Teen Titans, you used to have to really fight to get the 1 to 12 that you were after, and yeah, they were expensive. Yeah, and it has diluted that market. Yeah, which is the reason why a lot of the prices are going up. I mean, if anyone knows anyone who deals in comics, they're like secondhand car salesmen now, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's always weird that thing of the kind of comic collector was trying to kind of attach some kind of coolness or cred to the hobby, but now it's kind of come full circle where everyone is into the MCU stuff and Disney. They love it, but still hasn't translated into the comic sales and people picking up the comics. But.
Considering the cost of printing, this is interesting for independent creators and stuff. Considering the cost of printing, attending conventions versus the cost of uploading PDFs to Comic House or Comixology, etc., could an all digital approach be favourable for indies, or do you think there's still benefit to dragging those physical copies shows to show? You did a big gulp then, Dan.
No, it's good to go to the shows and you can kind of meet people and then introduce new readers to the comic. I think it's great to meet people.
It's an interesting question because there's a lot of creators who do a lot of shows, and certainly when they start out, they're going to every show that they can find. But that does get very pricey, especially the fact that the more UK cons there are, you know, we're talking Scotland, we're talking the north of England, the south of England. It's not cheap, and mainly even if you can get cheap travel, you've still got hotel and everything, that sort of journey, and it all adds up. And I think with a lot of these shows, I don't think you can go thinking, oh, I'm going to make a profit on this one. You have to go for the good time. Yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, we rarely make a profit, do we? If you add in everything, hotel fees, and you know, we rarely make a profit
because people don't think about the money they're spending either. Though, you know, they think, oh, I've made this, but then they put the money aside that they've made at a convention and spend their own money.
Spend 50 quid on pints of lager that night.
Yeah,
so, you know,
which, if you think about it, is the same money, isn't it?
Yeah. Really? Lager is available here for anyone. Which is the reason why we're whoring ourselves out and doing MCM. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Because
that's
one of the last bastions of actually making some money now.
Well, we'll see.
Well, we're trying that purely as a money-making exercise, aren't we? It's just...
No, it's we're so going funny. For the love of comics, Dan.
I don't think MCM has too much of that love there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh!
Furry love.
No,
any furries in the audience? Any furries?
Yeah.
Hey. Bones at the back. I've told him what a furry is.
So I don't know, shows are independent shows are certainly going to be interesting because it seems like there's more independent comic creators than ever before. I know, maybe I'm just aware of these people, they're always there, but
no, there's much more
isn't there?
Yeah, anyone who did Bristol back in the day, there was what, 10 of us?
Yeah, I mean, those crappy, the ones that we've made a laugh, you know, if you want to sit on the Jurassic Park toilet, Those shows are dying out.
They sort of came and went.
Yeah,
they are going, aren't they? They are going.
So then it's what is left over, you know.
Well, what's left is the Gosh comic scene. That's one of the things that's left. That's still a growing field. You look, there's a Hackney zine fair is about to start again.
Zine fair is the boom that I've seen over the past few years. Well, I say a boom, I've just been made aware of it. Maybe these things were always here. I mean,
yeah, I'm completely early.
It was only last year that I went to the last Bristol Comic and Zine Fair, and that was going to a show and just thought, you can't move for people. And I've been to some conventions where you'd be desperate for that sort of turnout.
I mean, I'll guarantee you Hackney, you won't be able to move in Hackney Zine Fair because it's the right place.
September.
Okay, yeah. Joe Stone, who we reviewed one of his books recently, he's one of the organisers.
So I think with those shows, if you're making a superhero comic, that's not the show for you, is it, to table there?
Probably not. Super ironic superhero comic. Yeah. I would suggest probably not.
You said a lot of it's like slice of life stuff. And
a lot of prints. Yeah.
But that's the sort of stuff you don't see so much in MCM. Is that right to say? I don't know. You don't see... Are you seeing more of the slice of life, you know, Avery Hill, No Brow sort of books in those bigger shows now?
Not so much. I know for a fact that I don't think Avery Hill will ever do it again.
Would you say it's just not the audience?
No Brow are doing an MCM this year, that'll be an interesting experiment for us. But it's more off the back of the fact that Hilder is a popular cartoon, and that's the sensible way for us to go. But I don't suspect we'll be selling a lot of our sort of slightly more obscure stuff there.
Hilder, a show that I blew Dan's mind with a bit of knowledge.
That fact.
Yeah,
go on.
Anyone watches Game of Thrones here? Leanna Mormont, the little girl, is the voice of Hilda in the Netflix show. That was just minds being blown everywhere. Yeah. Anyway, last one before the Malibu pop quiz.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, Christ.
I went over Malibu it twice Barbie. In pen, so it's obviously serious. Kenny McLellan, Reality Break Comics. When putting on your trousers, what leg do you put on first? You look like a jumper, Tony. I bet you just go
I'm
for
like
it.
A fireman in the morning. I have it ready. Legs, both legs in, up, out.
Just like a fireman?
Yeah, they do that, don't they? If they've got to run off and leg it off to a fire. Yeah. You know when you're around that woman's house and her husband comes in? You know when that happens?
Don't laugh, Dan. It's your house. He's going to hurt me. He's going to really hurt me later. Anyway.
Right, who's ready for the Malibu pop
Malibu
quiz?
Malibu pop quiz, bring it on.
I have an issue of Prime.
Hooray.
Yeah. Hey, not enough people cheer for Prime. Yeah.
Should we get a cheer for Prime?
Yeah, let's get a cheer for Prime.
Yay!
that's probably the only...
That was shite.
Yeah. Obviously, for those who don't know, Malibu were in the early 90s, weren't they?
Yeah.
They created the Ultraverse, which is a group of strange and wonderful characters, and Prime was one of them. The actual story itself, I picked this up at a Comic Mart because I remember having this issue when I was younger, yeah. and it is a great issue. It's got Dan Butcher all over it, this cover, hasn't it?
I've got like three or four of those Primes. They're great.
Yeah,
it's just of issue one.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Norm Brayfogle.
Yeah. It's and I can't. You just know everyone, don't you?
No, I don't. No, because I'm going to be shit at this quiz. So I can't
you may not be because it's a bit different. Because we're not going to talk about the story. Right. There's one of those classic sort of ads that we used to see in comics. You know, where you could order, you could just send in money. That was me trying to keep my place. Thanks, John. my lovely assistant, John Tucker, there. Don't look at it. So there's several different titles on here. It's basically, for those who don't know, there was huge lists of comics. It was just comic names and the prices of them. And you could actually
it was great. Yeah. I used to look at it for ages.
You could send in postal orders when they were a thing and stuff and just
get them delivered.
I never did. Did you ever order a comic book from a...
Yeah, all the time.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
From what sort of comic book?
Mostly from like British fanzine type stuff. Hmm. You send a check in. Yeah.
A check?
Yeah.
Or a postal order?
Mostly a check. I wasn't from a council estate as a child, so we actually had a check. Anyone heard of Grimsby?
That was... God, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so there's a few descriptions of some of the titles that were around at the time.
Yeah, okay.
This is 1993. Image is exploding.
Oh, he knows Image. He's
to the point where Liefeld started to publish books that none of the other Image creators are aware of. So I'm going to tell you a description of the comic, and you have to tell me what comic you think this is.
Okay.
It was weird. I felt the audience just all suddenly get invested.
Is this me and Tony or the audience?
The audience, and if you don't get it...
The audience
is It will go to the audience. Okay. Right, okay.
Don't Google it, Gary. What are you doing?
Right, okay. Mike Grell joins the Image Universe...
Shaman's Tears.
Oh, it's Shaman's Tears.
It is. Jesus. Okay, right, that's one to Tony. I really think you need to get out more.
I hope to sleep with a lady one day.
That's not why we did this show today, Tony. Right, okay. Introducing an unstoppable team of agents hired to bring down the Image heroes. Wait for it, there's more. Featuring a blood embossed cover.
Blood Strike.
Yeah, it's Blood Strike. Didn't let me finish on the really exciting bit when it said this will be hot.
Cover. Is there going to be a couple of them? But yeah.
Okay. Set in 1963 and written by Alan Moore.
1963.
Blank introduces the heroes from Image's 30-year past with scathing similarities to the original Marvel Universe.
1963.
Yeah, it was 1963.
No.
Not Supreme. No. It's something incorporated. Adventure Incorporated or something like that, is it? Anyone in the audience?
We've got Incorporated. What can go?
Justice Incorporated.
Not Justice.
No.
Mystery Inkle Fell. Okay. Penciled and plotted by Jack King Kirby.
Destroy Duck.
With inks by Liefeld, Lee, McFarlane, Larson, and
Captain
Williams.
Victory.
A can't miss, especially bag with one of five different trading cards.
Secret City.
Nope.
What's the one about?
You can have a go, Dan.
I'm completely lost on that one. No.
I know this one. It's the Secret City universe. I got the hard bucket. It's a couple of days. Oh, go on, tell me. Come on.
Does anyone else know? Phantom Force.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that one. Okay.
Ah, right, okay. Two more. Otherwise, we'll be all fucking day. Created, written, and illustrated by Keith Giffen.
The Max. Trencher.
It is indeed Trencher. Bloody hell, Tony. By popular demand, blank returns. But is he the same?
Shadowhawk.
Nope. Similar to blank number 75, each of these issues is polybagged. Hot!
Spawn.
Nope.
God.
He hadn't reached issue 75 by 93.
I know, that's true.
I will give you a clue. You probably won't get it because it's a DC hero.
Oh. Is it Superman?
It is indeed Superman. I think we can all agree that Tony Esmond has a problem. So
I'm never going to win going up against Tony.
Yeah, I know. I should have realised. anyway, do we have any shout-outs this week?
No, I didn't think we were doing shout-outs. I didn't write them down.
You look so sad then.
Yeah. Buy a raffle ticket. Shout out to the Don Sheaf over there who's organised the raffle. Sheaf.
Cheers, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
Yes, we're going to be doing a charity raffle after the show.
Yeah.
It should be
if
interesting.
If you bought a ticket, you're probably going to win.
I bought loads. I can't wait. And shout out to the Two Chairman Pub for having us.
Yeah, it's
today.
Very funny. It's a good little venue.
Yeah, nice little venue. Right. Yeah. And it's going okay so far.
Yeah.
So we may come back one day.
It's not going to go well.
Is it going to go badly? Is it going to go really badly?
Yeah.
Oh God. And yeah. So thank you to everyone that supported the raffle, and also to everyone in the room here today. There's probably 75% more people than I thought was going to turn up today. So thank you for coming to join what was a silly little idea that turned
thanks.
Into
yeah,
cheers.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yeah, so the past 200 weeks has been an adventure. I've got a drinking problem now. No, it's been really good, and I did a bit of a post on the Autumn Pod social media recently, which was a little bit emotional.
Yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Look, you know who you are, and we love you. And thank you for joining us for all this time. We don't have any recommendations this week. So is there anything else? I tell you what. Do the audience want to ask us a question?
Yeah, I've got loads more raffle tickets to sort out. You've got to keep going.
Right, okay. Vamp. Dan.
Yes.
You alright?
Yeah, fine.
So let's talk about MCM then. So you guys, when's MCM? 22nd? Anyone else?
24th, 25th and 26th.
Yeah, so the situation is you two are doing MCM in Comic Village.
Why is that a situation?
Because there's full of freaks and I won't be there.
We'll be there.
Yeah, but where are you going to be, Tony?
And I'm on the main floor with no brow, so that's the plan.
Just losing your mind.
Oh, God. One of the members of the staff at No Brow rang me and said, oh, I'm going to come and give you a hand. And I said, why?
The only man in the table on your own?
No, it's no. Three of us now, so okay. It's not too bad. Yeah. And you're helping, pointing at my son in the audience.
And he's shaking his head. Yeah. No, MCM's definitely going to be an interesting one.
Yeah,
I can't
I'm
going to
try and do
it.
Drawing on the day, which I haven't done in a few years.
Did someone just laugh?
Are you doing sketching on the day?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not.
Have you,
I'm available for commissions if anyone wants commissions. I can't.
No! Don't bring it down.
I can't talk and draw at the same time. I can't multitask.
And you fucking talk a lot. Not only because you have to, because I walk off.
That's true, yeah. Yeah. But no, it should be a good day. We're looking forward to it. Let us know if you're going to be there, because there's going to be times where I'm going to want to get away from Dan for a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, I love Dan so much.
So hands up, who's not doing you, Tony. Anyone doing MCM coming up?
couple.
Oh, there's only a couple.
Yeah, yeah. No,
who's going to MCM? Even less.
Bringing minibags to keep everyone else happy.
I think the story is that the people who about to happen is the people who run London Super Comic Con are taking over running Comic Village. Is that right?
Yeah. So I don't know how much I can say, but I'll be volunteering next time if it goes well.
Oh, okay, cool. So the October one you'll be at. Yeah. Oh, good.
That's Gareth Hopkins.
There's an MCM change
sorry,
now.
I'll start saying Gareth Hopkins.
it's like University Challenge. Hopkins.
I think MCM's changed now. They curate who's going in the Comic Village. Used to be a kind of first come, first served kind of deal. Mm.
Yeah, I know, because we both had a rant about how we didn't get a table. I say a rant. It was less a rant, more of a sulk.
Yeah.
We didn't get a table. And then we got offered a table. And
I did that video, send MCM literally slapped me in the face. And then 3 days later, they gave us...
Maybe they watched it. Are you going to do more funny videos, Dan?
I love your videos so much.
I try and do some more. It's kind of getting that trying to think of something funny.
But
how was the Captain Marvel movie you watched the other night?
That's a private WhatsApp conversation that we can't actually talk about.
What is
about?
Porn parody? Is that illegal?
As long as you don't pirate it.
Okay. It's a grey area.
Oh dear. So yes, thank you very much to everyone who came along. This is going to be a shorter show. Like I say, we're not going to have any recommendations. Dan thought we did. He wanted to talk about it. And I think we should still talk about it because you didn't, because it's a mainstream book rather than an indie book. And you wanted to wanted to talk about something because it kicked off, didn't it, on social media?
I've lost Comixology now. There is. This I saw everyone talking about this on Twitter.
I completely missed this, so
I'm going to have to hold this phone up. It's called Vader Dark Visions issue 3. Did anyone pick this up and read it? I'll walk around and show you around with the cover separately. But
I want to see that.
Essentially it's told from the point of the view of a nurse, an Imperial nurse, and she's got a fixation on Darth Vader and keeps on imagining herself having these kind of romantic rendezvous with him, and you get these great big one panel pages where it's kind of painted like a classic kind of old school painting of her sort of being swept away by Darth Vader, and like Dexter she keeps this wooden box of all little mementos, so when he's injured and he's got a bit of glass she like takes it, puts it in a little box, and her doctor catches her and said, look, don't be fucking around with Vader, he's like a bit of a nasty bastard. She does
say what the script in, works fantastic. Like that, yeah.
So she's kind of very unhinged and decides to go and he's, you know, that kind of chamber he sleeps in, and she kind of sneaks there and it kind of goes up and Vader's sitting there. She's kind of taken aback initially by the way he looks, and then she professes her love to him, and then she kind of has the expression on her face, and the next page is him just like with a lightsaber straight for her chest, and he just walks off and he's like, clean that garbage up. And Twitter did not like that.
Now,
but he's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
All the way through, he's kind of like shoving people out of the way, killing people. In Revenge of the Sith, he killed children.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of
the end of the bad Darth Vader is he's like the epitome of the black and white, good versus evil. He's the bad guy. I know they muddied it by making him someone's father, but. You know, in the first Star Wars, he's just a...
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. So, essentially, he did a bad guy thing, and what did people have a problem with?
It was about, I think, the garbage quote of, like, got to take her away, but that's what they call them, garbage shoots in Star Wars, and, I don't know, he's a bad guy, you got to make him bad. I didn't have a problem with it, I thought it was great.
Is it like when I suppose where like, women in America sent, like, serial killers and people on death row letters?
Yeah, a bit like that.
Kind of like a Star Wars version of that.
Is it Charles Bronson in prison in England keeps getting married, doesn't he? But he keeps... Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
I think it's an interesting idea to do that with a Darth Vader. Sort of story.
It's kind of just a one-and-done story in the comics. Great, yeah. Good stuff.
But was that really a major thing on Twitter?
Well, as major as it gets on Twitter. It's a bit of a storm in a teacup.
Well, you say as major as it gets, but Twitter could be quite a...
Yeah, I've kind of drawn back over the past couple of weeks because I was just kind of doing my head in. But obviously, I stuck my head above the parapet to see
And we are going to do our Twitter links at the end of the show, so you need to kind of
harass me on that.
But let us know what you thought about that issue or anything that we've talked about today. I think it's fairly sensible and it went all right. Why are we so surprised?
I don't know.
You look like you've just woken up, Tony. Yes. At least you've got trousers on now.
Yeah.
But if you want us to get in touch with us about this show, whether we will ever do this again, which we may do. I think it's gone well.
We've done a couple of panels.
Nice getting everyone in it.
Yeah, it's been alright. What were you talking about panels?
We've done a couple of panels where we.
Oh yeah, so I guess they were training for this, weren't they?
We can call them that.
Yeah, it was only about five people.
Five people was good.
Yeah, I tell you what, this is the most we've ever had. Sit down to listen to us.
It's the most I've seen on a panel since 1983.
You're quite good on panels, Tony, as a moderator.
Yeah.
No, don't say that, because a lot of people get
that
you
time
to moderate.
I was off my face and you just laughed at me.
When was that?
You did really well at Pat Mills.
That was fun. Yeah. Where I pointed at Vince and told everyone he was a furry, and that one, that was good.
Yeah. Good time to do
that
it.
Platform to character assassinate Vince.
Yeah. But I edit this show, so...
clip show, let's have a clip show.
We are not ever having a clip show, unless someone else wants to do it. Dan, do you want to do it?
No.
No, I don't know. He always threatens you with that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
To do the clip show. It's like bullying.
Because they're just full of hot air. Everyone sees it now. Everyone can see how I get bullied.
I keep on saying the sound effects, get them on board. The clip show. I want the knock on the door.
Oh, look who's at the door. Look who's coming in. We want that one.
There's somebody at the door. There's somebody at the... No, I'm not doing it.
The forthcoming musical episode that we're going to do as well.
No. It's going to be all gangster rap. Anyway, yes, let us know what you thought about this show. There's several different ways you can get in touch with us. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Do you want to read out some of these, Dan? No, you go for it.
Sure?
You can follow us on Twitter, even though we're just talking about how we're never on Twitter. We are actually always on at the Awesome Pod. Everyone's got the keys to that car. So we'll be posting up polls for Tom Curry. And we'll be announcing all the latest guests. We've got a...
We've got some crackers coming up.
Some very interesting publishers as well, so stay tuned. If you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And if you do Facebook and you do like groups or anything, there's only one place to be, and that's Awesome Comics Talk. How many people in this room sort of participate in our Facebook group? Yes, pretty much most people.
Yeah.
It's really the only reason you need to go on Facebook, if you ask me. And go and find Awesome Comics Talk. If you're going to apply to be a member, let us know that you listen to the show and answer some questions.
Yeah. The questions that we have are, oh, you're a listener, don't just put no, you're not going to get through, to be fair.
Yeah. And what's the other question?
What have you read recently?
Yeah. If you're on a comics group, there's no excuse not to have something to answer there. And if you want our comic, awesomecomicpod.bigcartel.com. If you want to buy it there, we're going to have them at Lawless and we're going to have them at MCM, and God knows we may sell out.
We
sold out years ago. That's why we're doing live shows. Now we're going to be a podcast.
You mentioned Comic House again.
Thank you for listening to us, whether it is on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. if you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe, leave a review. We're also on things like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod Will Hay.
I'm just going to let him sit in that.
You know I like this. You know I like this.
I know. And now I've got an edit in a tumbleweed.
Oh, you do some editing, yeah. Okay.
Oh, playing to the crowd.
Oh, dear. Yes.
Don't. We're going to sign off now. Where can people find us online, etc.? Tony.
SASEZOHYZ on Twitter, or neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk for grumpy old bloke reviews.
Yes. Dan Butcher.
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Yes.
Which is amazing at the moment, Dan. It's really, really good. You can find me online on Instagram and Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at TheRedMask from Mars.com. Do you want to read that?
I can, yeah. So I've just been handed by Richard Chief. We've made £476 for Little Heroes from the raffle.
Yes, that's awesome news. Thank you to everyone that's bought tickets. I can't wait to see if I win something. I never win anything. Apart from your friendship. Yes.
Yeah. And his missus.
It's about to get rowdy because we're going to now spend some time with our audience and just generally just talk comics and nonsense until we have to get kicked out.
So I think 5 o'clock they close, so feel free to hang about till then. Anyone still standing will probably shed off to somewhere else.
Get a drink, get some chips, do whatever, spend time with us. We should do this after we finish the show, shouldn't we?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway, from Dan, Tony, myself, and everyone in the audience today, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. For those who are wondering why everyone's laughing, Tony's put his arm around me.
Well, you're going to make me say something.
I'm not going to make you say it.
Okay.
We've got a room full of people.
Oh, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yes, go forth, read loads of comics, have a brilliant week. And as always,
stay awesome.
Thank you.
See ya.
Cheers.
No, a bit, just over an hour. Yeah.
You're too close to you, I can see your lips. Yeah. It's too sexy.
You can see my lips. Whatever you do, don't do the whole show with your arm around my...
Why?
No, because that is so uncomfortable.
It's comfortable for me.
For God's sake, put some trousers on.
I've got some deodorant for later.